Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Poison Taster, Sydney Trapp, Mackay, Ari Lovett, Lauren Prince, Lex, Andrew Nort, Ms. Specific, Silas Hjelmstad, Kai Letts. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and not GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Oh, Helen!
Not paying attention there, and...
Lydia, I nailed this. So my own name there.
Oh, I'm locked in to this one. This intro is continuing. Nailed-culous. And who are we with today?
Good heavens, it's me, Grant Howard!
So surprised!
Grant, good heavens, Howard.
We are playing part two of the Spire special run by Grant. I believe that we have our mission statement.
Yes.
And as a brief recap, it is protect Jessica Malrique, and we need to leave her? Leverage?
Find leverage.
Find leverage for Captain Bonchance. I'm happy to pick up where we left off. I think that, you know, it's all set up and good to go.
I mean, you could pick up wherever you want, but you have no power here.
I know, Grant, it's when weird. We pick up? Yeah.
Do the first session again. let's pick up exactly where we left off. Almost as though we did it 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, I like Grant's plan. He's much better at this.
I know.
Woo!
Thank you. Well, I think I haven't been worn down by multiple years of doing it, of putting up with you people.
That'll do that.
Yep.
I like him, he's got edge.
Right. So, that's not my character voice. Oh, here we are.
Oh, yeah, character voices.
Here we are.
Sergeant Redweather.
Well, so I'm sure that we can trust Sergeant Redweather to take care of the gathering of intelligence within the barracks, can't we?
Absolutely.
Let's jump to the barracks,
yeah,
then. The temporary...
Splitting the party.
We'll go to the barracks. Yeah. We're at the temporary military HQ. They have sequestered a couple of old warehouses they've taken over, a couple of old pubs, and the entire thing has been reinforced. A lot of the windows have been boarded up just to, you know, provide them with somewhere to fall back to if needs be. There are a few guards posted around the outside. I assume you're all like viewing. I assume the two of you, who are Sergeant Redweather and Trieste
on weekends.
Okay, Trieste are peeking out from behind a corner, Scooby-Doo style, and looking at the situation. You can see that there are a couple of guards on each entrance to the place, and you can see a few guys milling around inside. But generally, in this area around here and also around Arena, now that the player is running, the presence of the military is certainly felt in Red Row, and there are tensions between the gangs that run Red Row and the military who are here just to try and keep the peace. Is a kind way of saying throw their weight around and make sure that the Elfia don't get hurt and the Elfia get what they want. Mm-hmm. So rather than say paying for things, a lot of the military have gone in and just stolen things from hard-working drow down here, so the Elfia have stuff. So things are a little bit tense, especially around here.
Don't know about you, I reckon we handle this the way... You remember that pub, the Bawdy Gent? If I go up top, give you some overwatch, and you can... I'm not good at the talking. Never really been good at the talking.
Yes, I know.
But I reckon I can find somewhere high up, and then, you know... Basically, I can give you an out if it goes wrong, Sarge.
Right.
Okay, I like that. There's the Bawdy Gent just down the road. which is run by the Bawdy Gent himself. Jean-Jacques, his name is. Aye, sir, he says. Oh, pleasure to have you on board, sir.
Does he have a top place. Hat that's knocked in on one side?
I have an old ray, sir. Knocked in on one side. Which side do you want it knocked in on?
The upside.
The top. So I could perhaps leave an erotic magazine on top and it wouldn't roll off. Nah, sorry, an erotic sphere. Just a disembodied tit. Serious game. Are you sneaking into the Bawdy Gent? You know the proprietor, Jean-Jean, who's a very saucy chap. Do you want to go in there and make it known that you're going up to the top room, or do you want to try and sneak in and not be seen going in here?
Oh, I'm happy to up here. Listen, Listen, John.
Yes, I forgot my voice. Hang on, that's my voice again.
I think it was us just plus sex.
Yeah, here we go. So.
Well, listen, I mean...
Oh, these trousers are uncomfortably tight.
Between you and me, I've...
I found myself
needing to keep an eye on someone, if you know what I mean. I give what I think is a saucy wink. It's not, it's just kind of weird.
More young women, is it, Celeste?
Yeah, sure. So I'm just going to go up top and I'll stay out of the way, but, you know.
Can I get a compel check, please? This would be compel low society.
Compel low society. So walk me through this skill check.
So you always roll 1d10.
Yes.
Do you have the skill compel?
I do not.
Do you have the domain low society?
I do.
So you add one dice to this and roll both of those.
So
and then
I
tell me your highest
2d10.
Dice. Yes.
8.
8. Cool. You succeed. With no problems, no stress. Jean-Jacques gives you a lascivious wink with both eyes.
So. One after the other or simultaneous?
Oh, yeah, kind of out of sync, that sort of...
like a lizard
a Mexican
dude.
Wave. A Mexican wave across his face. Yeah. Saucy compulsion.
Including his nose.
It's a great audio joke there, as I winked with my nose. Yes, say no more. Please enjoy your time and try to leave the room clean.
Oh, cheers. I just head up. Go into whatever room I think has the best overlook for
Sure. There is a pokey little lodging, which no one seems to be in at the moment. There's a decrepit-looking bed in the corner.
Great.
And a little window. It's an attic, basically,
yep.
And you get a good overlook of the military barracks.
In which case, then, I get the bed, sort of drag it over to the door so I won't be rudely interrupted, and then proceed to open my enormous nuffle bag, revealing...
The nuffle bag?
My muffle bag.
Oh, okay. Oh, it sounds...
Cannon, right, so I open my muffled bag and pull out my enormous gun. Just, frankly, unnecessarily large gun. And proceed to set myself up in the window, ready to remove any obstacles from the sergeant's path.
You have a Raven long gun,
yes.
Which you took from your time in the military. It is unreliable, given that it's quite hard to maintain. You don't have the kit to do it outside the military.
Yep.
Which means that if you fail an action using it, you can't use it for the rest of the encounter. It jams or
yep,
you run out.
Yep, that's fine, that's fine.
That sort of thing. It has a rickety scope on top. No, actually, sorry, it has a pretty well-maintained scope on top. I imagine you take care of your stuff.
I just have rickety hands.
4, 5, 6 joints in each finger.
Coupled together with spin.
Curling round like S's.
We've already got too many characters like that.
And you're in position.
Yep.
Helen, Sergeant Redweather.
Sergeant Redweather just walks straight in.
Okay. Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, I'm a sergeant. I can come and go in the barracks as I please.
With which regiment, sir? And why aren't you in uniform, sir?
Am I not in uniform?
Well, you're a knight. I assume you're wearing quarter plate rather than, like, full military regalia. You're not currently in the military.
For some reason, I thought the military wore armour.
Not so much, no. Like, they'll have armour, but not, like, huge pauldrons and cod pieces like you have on.
Mm.
They'll have,
your
like,
person out of time.
Like, fairly drab military armour. You look like a gangster. Because you're a gangster.
Commit. Oh. Just walk in as a gangster.
Are you undercover, sir?
I'm in the play.
I see. Give me a compel check, please.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Genius.
Good. Right.
This would be compel order, if you have it, which you don't.
No.
So that's two dice.
Okay.
Will this play out like normal? It will not.
What's your highest dice?
6.
Oh, cool. Okay, you succeed, but you do take stress. So I'm going to...
It's almost like you forgot you weren't in the military anymore. Like, oh, God! My life's terrible! Oh.
Good save.
I'm well impressed. There's a quick, immediate response. I'm like, yeah.
It was not immediate.
You're playing, the Drownoval.
Yeah, the Moonlight Shines on Water.
Oh, yeah, the Drownoval with the Elfier name. Yeah. I remember now. Yeah.
You found the one soldier who's so, like, so out of the loop and desperately trying to pass it off. I love it. No, yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, that's a play on, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the one with the complex backstory about class, that's me.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to go see it. Unfortunately, I'm on duty on the door at the moment. So what are you doing back in the barracks? Sorry, I'll let you go, Sergeant. On you go.
Jeez.
You walk into the barracks. The other guard is like not quite so gullible about this.
Okay.
Not an absolute idiot. No, there is there's only so much trouble you can get up to. Like, you clearly are military, and like maybe they recognise you from some point in the past. But this is going to be noted, the fact that you were here and the fact that there was someone walking and claiming to be from the play. But no immediate ramifications now. You walk in, as I said, it's like there's a central square in the middle. There's a pub on one side. There's two warehouses on the other side. You can see that there's enough room to sleep about 30 men here. There are people running around. I'm going to say it's about lunchtime. So there's some enlisted chefs in armor, in uniform, carrying like big armored chefs. Armored chefs. they're wearing like body like armor and shit.
That absolutely sounds like one the sort of character class that Grant would make up.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't written the game already.
Yeah.
There are hardened battle chefs carrying big sacks of mushrooms and tubers. By which I mean potatoes, not. There are bricks of algae, which they break down to make a sort of paste for soup, that sort of thing. It's a thickening, nutritious agent. So it seems like they're cooking at the moment. That's the main thing. And some guys are coming back in from duty at the play, and they're sitting down to have some food.
Okay.
You assume the captain's office is somewhere not next to the kitchens, probably in that pub. That seems to be the most straightforward area.
But I am here to gather gossip.
Okay, cool.
Who are the most disgruntled looking people?
Everyone looks pretty gruntled.
Okay.
Around here. There is... the chef looks really overworked. There's one chef doing all the work here, and he's got like two ladles, and he's trying to stir things and pouring slop out into bowls, and then like spinning some sort of rotisserie chicken.
I just feel like the chef's there in this mad chaos, just the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much. That
is chefing.
Yeah,
that is actual chefing.
Yeah, I mean, my experience of chefing is that, but also you cut off your finger.
It's in professional kitchens. Yeah, it does tend to go that way.
So the chef is there. What? Do you need some stew?
I have a really stupid plan. Right.
Really?
Do you need a hand, mate?
Yeah, can you cook?
Yes, I can cook really well. I'm going to use braggadocio to convince him I am like the best chef other than him.
So just for the listeners, Helen's character has an ability called braggadocio. And once per session, you can convince any NPC you can do anything. So yes.
Oh, yeah, of course, cool.
And he starts using as much lingo as he can come up with.
You've got right. Julian, heritage carrots, I don't know.
Yeah. Now, just do this batch 3/4, and the other half I'm going to need 10/8, okay?
Gotcha.
Right, you are. And he hands you a jar full of red paste. If you could just handle that, that'd be great. Thanks so much. And then goes off to get some more mushrooms. But now, you are effectively the chef.
I really hope this was your end game, not that this was a step. This is your whole end game.
I'm fed up with the ministry. I want to follow my dreams.
I wanted to be an army chef. Meanwhile, we'll cut back to the other half of the party.
I'm investigating things from the inside. I've found my way into my vaults.
This will give you a brief description of how the Missium works. Also, you have a power called Backdoor.
Yes, but so I don't need
you don't
to
need
use
to.
That.
That's an emergency get out of.
Because here I can just actually walk to a pre-existing door.
You can go through a station. You're near. You're actually quite near Longfair Station.
To Longfair Station.
Go through Longfair Station. It is haunted, as is everywhere.
Oh, good.
It's riddled
I'll
with
ask
ghosts.
The ghosts.
Say the ghosts,
classic ghosts.
You walk down deeper and deeper down into the Vermissian. The most apparent thing about the Vermissian, you know, when you're waiting, generally like when it's quite quiet and before a train comes, and you hear the rails singing.
Yeah.
That all the time, every angle,
really
ghosts.
Loud. Yeah,
it depends how close you get it. Yeah,
all the angles, ghosts.
And you use the non-Euclidean space to return yourself to your semi-infinite library.
Grand.
Where Paige is there.
Hello, sir. Madam? How should I refer to you? I forget.
At this point, I'm beyond concepts of gender.
Righto.
So,
Master,
I have brought you a pamphlet to nibble on.
Oh, thank you.
Now I am going to seek something that is... it's a little, uncomfortable, even for myself, but I need to know...
Just going to save some of this for later. Go on.
I need to know the Elfair's understanding of the fall of Spire, to understand exactly how they would portray it in their own retelling in this opera, to understand
opera.
What kind of threats... Yes, there is an opera that is being performed. It's being written by some despicable Elfair wannabe... artist type, sort of lives in a, you know, probably lives in a commune and has a lot of cats.
Or live in a hole like us.
Yeah, but the,
train hell.
Yeah, exactly. Much better. Anyway, there.
Sorry, one thing, Master. Yeah. There has been a slight infestation of ghosts in the East Wing.
That's.
A lot of owl ghosts.
So that's actually better than usual. Slight infestation rather than the major infestation it was before. Well done on cleaning that up, Paige.
Thank you. I've done my best to keep it going. Yes. Just wanted to tell you the situation is not completely clear.
Very good. Mm. So what I need you to do is to assist me in understanding and preempting exactly how this play will turn out. Mm,
very good, sir. Sounds like what we need is some sort of research montage.
Yes.
Let's go.
Scribble, scribble, scribble. Dripping honey on everything.
And you know that the right piece was just stuck to your hand all the time.
Oh, yeah. Just really
working together, there's nothing we can't find out.
Yeah, my honey and my grout.
Grout is Paige's nickname, because that's what he likes to eat aside from books.
Yeah, because he's a gradolive.
Close enough. There's a shot of a load of books like either side of you, and then like Paige comes and puts another stack of books in front of you.
And sometimes does a swarm of bees come in and put down a
yeah,
book.
Yeah. like some bees crawl out of your sleeves and help turn a page.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and the bee nods at you and you're like, thanks, bee.
Cheers, bee.
I'm going to make a roll for Paige to assist, and I will need you to make me an investigate check, please.
So what do I roll? So I have investigate?
This will be academic, I think.
So investigate and academic?
Yeah, so
I get
three dice.
I don't have that many dice. Okay, I've got a 9.
Brilliant.
In fact, I've got
okay.
2 9s.
Great.
Ooh. Is that a 6 or a 9?
That's a 6.
Did you roll a 9?
I rolled a 9.
That's the important thing.
Okay.
So you were trying to find out how the Elfair would represent this.
Yeah, yeah. So that I can anticipate when in the plot Jessica Malreek might
okay, cool.
come into danger.
Mainly referencing Aline Malreek as your point. You look at the various histories of her. Mm-hmm. There's been like several books written about her life. You're able to access... pre-first drafts of some of them. Your section library isn't that great. A lot of the copies you have are like the very big versions you send to publishers, and they still have like the red pen corrections in.
Yes.
But they certainly surface in that. She foresaw her own death at the hands of the Elfair invaders.
Oh dear.
And strode out to meet them. She used a bow and arrow. Apparently she struck down about 12 of them. She was blind as well as the other thing.
Right.
She struck down about 12 of them before for a graceful warrior poet brung her low and killed her.
At what stage in the fighting?
This would be, you imagine, towards the end of Act 2.
Right.
So tomorrow. You'll be okay today. Today's okay. Just establishing shots, basically.
Right. Okay, well, that's useful.
And a lot of songs. About ice.
Really glad to be missing that.
Yeah.
Can we hear it?
In the station, I think you're too far away
right,
from this,
right.
But everyone else can hear a...
Ice, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vanilla ice is there.
Oh, look, there's chocolate ice and strawberry ice too. Let's take them all down.
Hey!
There is a very tall Elfair woman, impeccably dressed, wearing a... all Elfair wear masks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Should have said that, forgot to mention that. if you see an Elfair, they're wearing a mask. A tall, impeccably dressed Elfair woman with a mask of smoked crystal singing like this astonishingly high-pitched song, which is supposed to replicate the screech of gulls to the far north, which is apparently, like, really good to the Elfair. And a lot of the Elfair, like... clapping.
I hate this opera.
Like you can totally see and you can totally hear it, and
you can see the window panes rattling.
You can. The other thing which really, really bothers you is a lot of Elfir give up speaking because they find it uncouth, and it's like they'll have their vocal cords severed and instead just have like a flute. And so after the performance, you just hear like.
Do they actually communicate with that, or are they just playing flute at each other?
Yes,
you have to guess what they like.
So, like, basically, some of them do, but not all of them are good at it.
Right.
So, Elfir are, at the end of the day, people. Bad people, who you don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're alien in that respect, but they're still people. So, while, like, maybe... I'm guessing a couple of the Elfir performers will have had their cords severed. They will be well-versed in the means of playing bassoon to indicate particular artistic things.
Oh, okay, you want some snacks now, sir.
Oh, ham sandwich.
Yeah.
But the majority of people just sort of don't have their vocal cords severed and just go like... at the end of a sentence to try and underline it.
Dog! Dog!
Pretty much. Everyone's a bit rubbish.
Yay!
So you find out Act 2 is probably when she's going to bite it.
Right.
Which is convenient. She's not currently performing. She's in L'Enfer Noir. So we go to Monsoon. L'Enfer Noir is goth Moulin Rouge, the best way I can describe it.
Cool.
L'Enfer Noir...
I like efficient descriptions.
Yeah. L'Enfer Noir translates to the Black Hell, a bit like the Red Windmill.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing you can get to posh down in Red Row.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the artists who've been imported from Upspire have been put up down here. So they have lodgings in L'Enfer Noir. You're certainly able just to walk in the front door. You've been there multiple times. You're gorgeous and you're magic. So there's no like, you can't...
Triple threat.
Yeah, triple threat. I assume there was drawings of her on the pamphlet, so you know what she looks like. And after sort of scouting around for a while, there are two stages on either side of the room. One is playing human industrial music, which is like literally they get repurposed industrial machines and try and make dance music.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
It is pretty cool. Yeah. There's a lot of very, very rich, like drugged up young drow and a couple of elfids like throwing themselves around. And on the other side of the room, like doing their best is a competing play. They are trying to yell over the industrial music, and there's kind of a contest every night to see you can get it. And like now, the industrial music is really winning out because they have an unfair edge because they have metal hammers to make noise.
So it's a cross medium battle of the bands.
It's pretty much, yeah.
It's nice. Basically the Edinburgh Fringe, the stands that they have on the Royal Mile, where you're just trying to shout over each other.
Yeah.
While not ruining your voices so that you can still sing in the actual musical later that day.
And you can see that Jessica is dancing. She's amongst some of the poshos dancing to this music, and they're all having a great time. A couple of them are kind of looking a bit tweaked out and being taken aside by the staff.
Sure.
The staff are all creepy androgyne people who have had surgery to look identical. And they're very, very crispy. And so a few of them are being taken away off to one side. But she seems to be having a lovely time of things, dancing around. Do you want to try and introduce yourself to her? Do you want to try, or you just want to try and watch for a distance?
So I am going to, just once I've clocked her, go to the toilet, cast a glamour on myself for Jessica.
Or go to the bathroom, I see.
Sorry, yes, go to the bathroom. Not just there, not just right there. I stand on the bathroom and I just evacuate.
Wow, who is this mysterious stranger?
Such a bold entrance.
I've never seen anyone take a dump on the dance floor before. Who is this masked man?
So,
taking the masquerade
I go to the bathroom to cast a spell upon myself.
What do you look like yourself to make? Let me try that one again. What do you make yourself look like?
Whoever Jessica wants me to be.
Okay.
So I'm casting glamour.
Tell me. Tell me what she wants.
She wants a bit of rough and ready. She spent a lot of time closeted up in, sort of, as you said, the gilded halls, and she's out on the town for like the first time in her life, so she's well up for a bit of the local flavour.
Very good. You rough yourself up a little bit. You have one of those handsome and debonair eye scars that half the party have. I suppose I technically over half the party if you count both of Alex's ice scars.
See, I don't have the ice scars. I was going to. I'm just missing a good chunk of air at this
point. I've lost an ear and have an ice scar.
Oh, all right.
Wow, that's hot.
Yeah.
Are you missing like a bit out of your ear or just the whole thing off? Because that's maybe a bit hard to work with.
Yeah. just a bit.
A cosmetic chunk of ear is missing.
Yeah, very aesthetic.
And one of your eyes, you go through your effects and maybe create, maybe you had in your bag, a milky white contact lens and put it over one eye. Yeah. And just rough your hair up and like your beard sort of just grows out. Right, with the noise of bamboo. What are you doing in there? Nothing!
Straining, freshening up!
But you're certainly looking much more rough, ready, angular, a bit grimy. Mm-hmm. Like, you smell sexy in a dirty sort of way.
Musky.
Yeah, musky.
And then I'll go back to the dance floor and start to sort of insinuate myself with Jessica's group, and then eventually I will be dancing with her.
Cool.
Hey, I'm musky.
Smell my musk.
I'm going to have you make a roll for me, please.
Yes.
So this is High Society.
Yep.
And Compel.
Sure, which I have both of those. So
yes, I believe you might have Mastery. I forget the rule.
Oh.
But what did you roll?
I rolled an 8.
Oh, that's fine. Then you don't need Mastery for this. You already have a good thing.
It's all going so well. I don't trust it.
They're all dancing away. She's, there's something about her. She's not beautiful. There's something, like, she has a slightly crooked mouth, I suppose, with the thing. There's certainly something striking about her, and you find yourself a little taken with her.
Hmm.
But she looks like maybe had a little bit too many drugs. A little bit, she looks a bit pale, sort of like kind of just chewing a little bit too much. But she certainly seems taken with you, and you dance, and you know, sort of rub up against each other a bit, and it's very exciting. And just as things are just about to sort of get towards, just about to seal the deal, kiss. Some of her friends arrive, rather than the ones she was dancing with. They look a bit more senior, perhaps a bit more like maybe the people who are overseeing this little excursion. There are a few drow in artists' robes or playwrights, tabards, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and smile and sort of, excuse me, and take her away off to the side, into like off back to their quarters, without sort of saying, hey, excuse me, can we break this up? They just sort of go and take her.
I'll give her a look of sort of, I'll find you later.
Mm-hmm.
And then let them.
Yeah, cool, okay.
So on that sultry note, I think we should probably take a break and then come back when I'm a little less steamy.
We can all cool down. Yeah. Quite literally, it's boiling in here.
Yeah. Back in a sec, though.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome back. I've managed to calm myself from Ben's raw sexuality, so I think we can carry on.
It's a problem I often have.
we cut back to the chef.
Yep, let's cook cooked sexuality.
Yeah. you're not entirely sure what that jar of red paste did. I like to imagine that Sergeant Redweather has never cooked a meal in his life.
Okay, well...
Isn't that what mistletoe's for?
Mm.
Or the cooks when you were in the army, or whoever ran the pub when you joined the knights before you had a page.
How high up is a sergeant?
They lead a squad.
Yeah. Okay.
Like slightly better one. Than a squaddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it goes private and then sergeant.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
That's how the army is.
Confusing. All right.
Is it?
I don't know how the army works.
Okay. We've just told you.
I mean, that's the bit you need to know. Private and sergeant.
This discussion.
So Steve Rogers is a captain.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my days, Harry.
We're not going to have time to run you through the entire.
Now he is captain of America.
That's fair. You are not Sergeant of Spire.
No.
But okay. Sergeant Spire is the morale boosting superhero.
Yeah, that's probably actually what you fight under in the arena. Sergeant Spire.
Okay, do I need to roll for being able to cook?
Or no, you can't.
You can't cook.
I think it's been established you can't. Well, Okay, yeah, you know what? Make me a...
Recognize food check.
I don't know. Like, what skill? That'd be fix, I think. For like, Wickham.
Deceived. Oh, yeah. Spooky food.
You're going to try and persuade the food.
You just start putting loads of soap in the pan. Oh, no, it's gravy.
Just be delicious.
Yeah, coriander tastes like soap to a lot of people. make me a fix order check,
just
please.
Fix.
So that's one dice.
To fix what you've done, check. What a useful check.
Oh, gosh.
That's another six.
Yeah, you know what? You,
you poisoned yourself, but everyone else is fine.
Okay, that's... You managed to pull off a passable meal, but everyone's like, where's the chef gone? And who are you? And they ask a few questions. I'm going to roll for fallout if you know.
Sure.
Okay. You took the fallout humiliated. You certainly cook up a fine meal, and the other cook comes back and starts cooking up, but then Captain Bonchance walks out. And I think that maybe Bonchance knows you. Maybe Bonchance knows some stuff about you in some way. Sergeant Redweather, isn't it? Yes, this is his voice. Sergeant Redweather! Oh, he's still trying to, still scrubbing around the kitchens, eh? I think, chap, sorry, just everyone's attention. Sergeant Redweather was, what's the word? Is it dishonourably discharged? Is that the phrase? From the army, three summers ago now.
It hurts.
Been scrubbing around in the docks, and now you've tried to... Well, I mean, Sergeant, he comes over and puts a hand on your shoulder. I get you're probably like, quite hungry looking for food, so you didn't need to come in and steal it. You could have just gone... You could have just hung out the gates with the other beggars. Like, we take the slops out and put them back for the pigs and the beggars. You could have been there. And so, yes, your character is humiliated. You can't use your army leverage or connections in any way until you sort of bring yourself back in their eyes as you've been thoroughly drugged.
I'm going to kill him.
Now? Just right now?
I'm just noting it down.
I mean, okay, just later.
I can provide some support, but the entire military might be quite difficult.
You can see everyone like, pointing and laughing.
God.
At the sergeant.
So I'm just basically down my scope looking through a window and I'm just like,
is this a killing thing?
I don't know what's going on. I kind of line up a shot and I'm like, I don't...
You're not supposed to shoot anyone, technically.
I mean, maybe this is the plan.
She's definitely got his attention.
No one suspects a fool. I just cringe. I just cringe.
And I think we can close that scene down there. Unless there's anything you want to do as you leave or carry on serving food, which you wish to do.
So in my head, what I would do is then commiserate with a disgruntled chef.
Okay. The humiliated fallout means you're made a fool of in front of people, and you can't use that relationship until you get yourself back in their eyes. So like the chef will come back and see that you are the chef probably walks back with like an arm full of giant mushrooms and then sees the captain giving you a dressing down in front of everyone. It's like, oh no, I told him to cook. I'm going to get in trouble now.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
And I guess I go. I don't deal well with humiliation, like, in or out of character.
just to break character, are you okay with this? This is fine, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
You've provided some motivation.
Yeah,
so.
But genuinely, it's a problem.
Thing is, Helen usually, she writes on her character sheets quite a lot, but she has very neat handwriting most of the time. The way that she has written kill...
In a box, all caps,
and then,
kind of stabbing.
It honestly looks like she's painted it on the wall with her own blood. Right?
Or with someone else's blood,
yeah. Like the lines of the K kind of intersecting. like it's been scribbled in almost through the paper.
It's bringing some passion to it.
It's motivation, I think we'll call this.
Ben. Yes, I'm going to put it down to character building.
I mean, what are RPGs if not just a system for us to kill our problems?
Yes.
Ben, After Jessica is taken away by her superiors, what's your plan for the rest of the, I suppose, afternoon, evening? It's getting on towards evening now, I suppose, in your scene. Mm. Do you want to try and, like, sneak around and see what's what? Do you want to try and find her later that night?
Yes, I'm going to grab one of the pamphlets that are around for the opera, sort of like little read-along things, read up on what's going on in the opera, her exact role and everything like that, and then try and find out where her room is, and then sneak in after dark.
Okay.
Intimate conversation.
It's going to be tricky.
Intimately, isn't it?
It's going to be tricky to find out where her room is.
I mean, I could meet up with you and tell you all the stuff about how the play is going to go down, rather than you reading up on it. Because I've done that. And they're like, oh, it's tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just because otherwise we're doubling up work.
I mean, I was literally just grabbing the pamphlet.
Okay.
You both know from different sources.
Research is my thing. Mine thing.
Oh, just reading.
No.
No reading.
No one is allowed to read. No.
Should I see the plane? Like, literally.
As you try.
No, just we're at a restaurant. I grab a menu
down.
And I'm like, oh, no, sorry, no. I just order
bees,
for me.
I'll have bees the cover the
food.
Yeah.
And a drink.
You're pushing it.
Where do you learn about this word? If you're trying to sneak in after dark, give me a sneak check, please, and sneak high society.
Yeah, okay, I can do that. That's an 8.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah.
Characters play to their strengths.
Yeah, you succeed. you manage to sneak in. You do a bit of asking around, and people are generally quite happy to talk to you about stuff, and like you ingratiate yourself with the group, and it turns out that they're staying in the lodgings, up lodgings. Is one of the directions in Spire. In an upper floor, that's the word, Grunt. And you walk through several stages of music and live bands and bordellos and sex workers dancing. And you get to the sort of warrenous upstairs lodgings, which are a bit pokey for these people, but they're very nicely appointed. Mm. She is in room number 85. There is a scarlet door on the slightly threadbare but still pretty posh carpet above that. So yes, do you knock? Do you kick down the door and rip off your shirt?
As I'm walking up the hallway, I grab a bottle of wine that's been left beside one of the other rooms.
A half bottle of wine, yeah. Yep. Okay, yeah.
And just quietly knock on the door.
Well, that's only going to lean into the sort of like rough and ready thing a little bit more.
Yeah,
precisely.
No response.
Mm. I'll try the door.
Okay, cool. The door opens. The curtains have been pulled. It's very dark inside. And you can see in the corner there is a secret door, as it were, a passageway. Mm. A wardrobe has been moved out of the way. Now, you've worked in L'Enfer Noir a couple of times, and you've maybe stayed here with clients, as it were. Secret passages aren't out of the ordinary. Most rooms in here have secret passages.
Sure.
Just because people need to get in and out without being seen, or they want to, you know, have some sort of sexy passage play.
Tristan Abrams.
Passage play is actually rather banal. Open a doorway. Ooh! Sounds so much worse than it is.
You hear the click of high-heeled boots coming down the steps from inside the passage. Are you going to, like, stay here? Are you going to run back out the door?
So
are you going to hide under the bed?
Hide under the bed.
Is there a chair?
Yeah, let's just.
Brilliant.
One.
Close the door, open the bottle of wine, and recline alluringly in a chair.
Cool, I like it.
Yeah.
Make me a recline alluringly check, please.
Okay.
So this will be compel. That's another 3 dice. This is your shtick.
Recline alluringly.
Ah.
That's what I like to
it's
see.
A 5, luckily, because the other two were 1s.
3 dice, and you only get 5.
Yeah, there you go. Oh. There's some stress.
This is Spire.
You recline alluringly. You recline too far. Out the window, into the street outside.
You're not the GM here. You hush yourself.
The
way
I would punish you for even a minor transgression
you
like
fall
this.
Back and
this
bite
is why
your
stuff's
tongue.
Happening in this game.
Yeah. Let's all just be static and slowly punish ourselves.
Split the party more ways.
I mean, in fairness, like...
so split a person.
Split it again!
You...
Oh no, we'll have to split it again then.
Decapitate your characters.
You're sitting there. Are you sitting there loosely reclining with a bottle of wine? I assume you found some glasses from somewhere.
Oh yeah, I'm loose and loosh.
Both. And she walks back in. Her eyes are tremendously sunken underneath. There's bags under her eyes, is what I mean to say. She has milky white pupils and irises. And there's a sort of ectoplasm, sort of like leaking out of her facial orifices and slowly like questing up to the ceiling.
Sure.
She turns and sees you. Ah! she says, and like hurriedly turns away. Oh, and sort of like rearranges her face and turns around, and she's got that same sort of like quite becoming crooked smile again. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. No. I was. How did you? And like, and she starts pushing the wardrobe back in place.
I implied I'd find you later, and I have.
Well, yes, I just thought you might knock, or maybe I was...
I'm sorry, I did. But you seemed otherwise indisposed. Don't worry.
So I wasn't in the room?
Yes, and so I thought that I might let myself in so that we could enjoy a drink together when you return. I'm terribly sorry that I seem to have... Anyway, let's not talk of that. Would you like some wine?
Yes, please. Yes.
I'll pour her a glass.
She seems perhaps unimpressed with you at this at this point. You might have to maybe turn on the charm a little bit, but you are not. She's not super happy about you breaking into her room when she was off doing something in a corridor.
That's
I think it's super creepy.
I think that's fair.
Go out on a limb there.
Yeah, a moth flies out of one of her ears and she clutches it, and like you can barely see.
I have. To, I was just when we were dancing. I didn't realise that you are Jessica Melrique. Yes, you're here for the play. And
I thought when I came down here, people wouldn't be like, "Oh, you're Jessica Melrique." Oh, you know, everyone just wants to marry me for the money. Everyone just wants to get together with me because, you know, from a noble family, from a great family, and I just thought I'd come down here and maybe I could meet someone nice who liked me for me.
I don't
want Rather to, than I'm Jessica Melrique.
I don't want to fawn over you. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know Jessica Melrique, the artist. You know, what makes you... I want to know you. I don't want to know your reputation. I want to know you.
This would work on me.
It would so work on me. Oh, my gosh.
No.
Yeah, no. Oh, this would do carry I get no water.
Do I get some bonuses for, like, charming like the room?
Oh, well, this isn't a role or anything. You know, I'd like to know me too.
That's the thing I would say.
Like, age 19 me would be, yes,
so,
yes.
I'll say, well, let's get to know you together and hand her the glass.
Thank you. She drinks from it. It's not poisoned, is it?
Surprise!
It's a gun!
Just sliding up from the mouth of the glass.
And your hand, you've got your hand in the bottle, somehow transporting out of the glass. Drop them, toots. Okay. We had to break the tension there. And the two of you talk. You while away long into the night. You miss the scheduled meeting where everyone was supposed to meet up and chat about what happened during the day.
Absolutely.
And like... You might sleep together, you might not. I'm not hugely interested in what happens, but you certainly bond. It seems like she super isn't mentioning what happened in the corridor. Super not talking about that in the slightest.
I'm super not asking.
Yeah, cool. She is a closeted young woman. She is in training to be an idol of some kind, like inspired. They don't use the phrase idol, but she's training to be a magician and possibly an artist in some way.
Yeah.
She has been involved heavily in the set dressing of the play, and so like, there's a lot of like occult symbology, which boosts the audience's approval. But also she has a possible singing voice, and she is a Melrique. And so for what was his name again?
Suvine Blossom and Winters decided it would be very fitting to have a Melrique play the role
of the Melrique. And he fanned himself with a cream puff.
His entourage was like,
oh, how delectable. I could just die.
The symbology is so subtle there.
Marvellous casting.
I can't even.
How brutish. And so the three of you meet. You miss the meeting because you're staying up late chatting to a young woman, a young artist. The three of you exchange what you know. What do you know now? In fact, let's have it like let's sort of just come up above the characters for a second. What's your plan now? You know that the captain is kind of a dick, and Jessica has moths coming out of her ears.
I know, right?
So far, like, the only bit of workable information I think we have is what Lydia found.
She's likely going to die at the end of the second day.
Like, I think that's all we have.
I now have personal motives for getting blackmail or leverage on Captain Bonchance as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I've managed to get myself a reputation as a peeping Tom. Like, you know, small victories, but...
Yeah.
You know what? So I... In any session, can declare two NPCs connected.
Yep. You can do that now.
We haven't met many NPCs, but
I've done my best.
I think
the most one shot
is empty.
The most fun I can think of is if it turns out that the captain is connected to the bawdy gent.
All right, actually, I've actually got a good hook for that.
Yeah,
that works for me.
Yeah.
He is the bawdy gent.
Hello, sir. It's me all along.
Yes, the captain is connected to the bawdy gent. Mm. Terrest, you decide to stay in the bawdy gent, by which I mean the pub, not the man.
well, if I leave too early, I'll get a reputation.
For a while, you hang out, just sort of watching, trying to learn the patterns of the guards
stuff.
The captain sneaks out. Like, you see him leave out of a back entrance and then sort of, like, leave quietly through a side door. Mm-hmm. And the guards do their best to definitely not notice that he's going and into the bawdy gentleman.
I mean, their shoes got really interesting suddenly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And into the bawdy gentleman, the bar, not the man.
Okay.
And as you sneak out and over here, he goes up and pushes some coins over to the bawdy gentleman. He gives him a big old wink. And I'm going to say it's about, like, the opera's over for the day now.
Sure.
Gives him a greasy wink. and he walks up the stairs into the inn above.
Yeah.
And you can see, as I'm going to say, that you're hiding behind something, and that the camera gets a shot of it, as it were.
Sure.
You can't interact with it, as it were. Captain Bonchance opens the door, and Mias Mara, the gladiatrix, who's playing the Elfia Queen, is reclining on the bed, ready for him.
Oh my word!
This is a saucy game.
So I'm just saying, I actually managed to learn something entirely through also Lydia's abilities.
No one learns anything aside from Lydia.
Nori, stop looking at your character sheets.
I'm sorry.
Stop it.
Just tell me how many dice I need to roll with.
No.
Your character is a need to know basis.
Yell some numbers.
Two.
Wrong number. Wrong number.
Thank you for your help, Lydia.
It's fine.
I'm not saying I'm being carried, but I'm absolutely being carried.
Okay,
well, at least you found something out. I'm just like, I probably don't actually say anything in this meeting. I just sit in the corner and sharpen my sword and look
pointedly.
It'd be really awkward. It'd just be that. So what'd you learn?
I just glare.
Maybe some guard roots or...
about it.
Yeah, so you certainly learned some guard roots, so I'm going to give you the capacity to roll with mastery.
If it
comes down to predicting the movements of guards,
sure.
Or, like, picking out a certain guard to meet. Like, you're ex-military as well, so you might know a few of these guys.
Sure.
Like, you know their brothers or what have you, so I'll let you roll with mastery to use that information, so it's not a complete bust.
Well, I mean, seems to me, then, we've got a time and a place that we know that Jessica's going to be at, and that something's going to go down. So we can probably interfere there. And, I mean, the whole Bonchance and the whole Elfia Queen thing, that's something we can act on. Mm. If we can get him alone.
And that's someone you know, right?
Definitely someone that you fancy.
And know of her.
Well, I mean, then it seems to me, if one of us has a chat with Bonchance, one of us has a chat with the Elfia Queen to make sure there's no complications, and then the rest keep an eye on...
Monsoon. Is a snake. Monsoon. What's the word?
Saunters?
Saunters. I had sidles or swaggers? Swaggers.
Ah.
Just greases into the room. Hello.
Just out of the room. I'm the ovipositor.
I didn't wish to open the door. I extruded myself. Hello. Monsoon turns up late rather than not showing at all.
All right.
That's probably a bit better.
Oh. Mm. Decided to join us then.
Well, I was busy on the mission. I've spoken to Jessica. I think we've got a bit of a connection, so tomorrow, I think I can probably stick quite close to her and make sure that nothing bad happens. Or the third day, she seems fine now.
I think, as we've discussed, our problems with Jessica are unlikely to extend into the third day. Her character dies rather spectacularly in most of the stories.
I mean, as fun as it'd be to literally snipe the play from the audience, I feel like I might be a bit obvious in that role, so I'm not sure...
I think if you don't shoot someone from the audience, you've wasted your character.
Wow. Quality judgments there.
No, sorry, like, I think it's certainly possible for you to get in a position and shoot directly into the play while like Helen's there smashing together cymbals to try
and
cover the noise.
That's all I wanted. I just didn't want to go on a limb and tell someone how to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it seems to me I can place myself in the audience and now, worst comes to worst, a tragic bullet-based accident could befall anyone who came nearer.
Yes, and if you... if your connection has developed sufficiently, perhaps you can invite yourself backstage.
I think so.
To be present.
Maybe give her a quick out as well if things turn south.
Could even get yourself in the play.
I could even be the one who fights her, if we're worried.
Oh, maybe, then I wouldn't need to shoot you at all.
Maybe an early bullet for the actor.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that'd work too.
That works, I like that.
And then we need a replacement, which is none other than...
But doesn't that mean that... she'll kill you. I mean, I'm not a much of an opera person.
It's the first blood.
Oh, God, barely counts.
And if she needs to try and kill me, we'll...
They should come up with some kind of, like, middle-scale thing, you know, to... A little bit more, but...
What, like I mean, if the you sort need of human a... game, the wrestling?
That's the one, yeah.
If you need a quick out, I can always transport you. By special means.
I like the way you said that. That feels like confidence.
Absolutely. Me too, yeah.
A comfortable ride.
So, I mean, that leaves us with Redweather. I mean, you reckon you're up for having a chat with Bonchance, maybe?
Yeah, you too friendly?
You let me know when he leaves the barracks and I'll find him.
You know what time. So you have a rough idea of what times he enters and leaves officially.
I just give that info straight over. Like, yeah. At this time, he will definitely go out for a quick bawdy gent.
I like now that just Helen's arc is just a big vendetta.
Eat the food! Eat the food!
we're doing a mission, and Redmother's like, I'm settling the score.
You know what? I think that's a good point to end. We know more or less what we're doing, and we know that, Helen, never mind. Never mind, Sasha Redweather is on a mission of her own.
Yes, and so as the first day's opera comes to a close and the sun rises far, far above, which you would certainly never see.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to sleep, or not, as it were, in preparation for day two, which focuses around the glorious invasion of Spire, which has a lot more fighting and less singing.
It's very inaccurate, historically.
So, yeah, we'll wrap up there then and come back next week with definitely nothing going wrong, I think.
Bee powers!
Bees in the theatre!
Yeah, you haven't fired any bees anyone, so we're just waiting.
I've just made all the pamphlets sticky.
Bye, guys!
Bye! Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
I really like fast kink. I want to make love to you, but the vicar's in the next room.
Go through the door. Come out another one.
Oh, yes.
Do you reckon anyone's watching behind that painting?
He's behind you. Yes, he is.
That's pantosexuality. That's a different one.
Oh no, we'll have to do it again then.